Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, 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 and welcome to The New Normal, the Guilty Feminist show about life and feminism in lockdown. Now, today, my special guest is Honey Ross, otherwise known on Instagram as Honey Kinney. She's a brilliant writer and also is fantastic on Instagram. It's really helped me become more comfortable with my body. I really recommend following her. I'm just going to wait till we get a little bit more of a quorum before I bring her on. And I will remind you that the Guilty Feminist for the New Normal does T-shirts through the merch store. Now, 100% of the profit goes to the artist who has said the quote. So it's something that they've randomly said that's funny or interesting through the New Normal. And that's because a lot of artists are currently not gigging. Writing jobs have become much less well paid. And obviously it's illegal to assemble an audience at the moment. If that artist says, oh no, I'm actually fine for money at the moment, they can then nominate that fee goes to a different artist, because it's very small amounts of money. The merch store doesn't take a profit, and neither does the Guilty Feminist, and the T-shirts are made of sustainably and traceably, and they are only printed on demand, so there'll be no waste. If you don't ask for somebody's slogan to be printed on that t-shirt, it just won't happen. So you have to order it for it to be made. And we've got some great slogans. We've got I always think of the same ones. I feel like I need to be looking up some more of them so I can be plugging other people. Susie with comas says bleak hysterical, and they all say the name of the person that said them, the new normal and stay at home. Ellen Jones says big gay mess. It just stuff like that somebody said. There are some very, very funny ones. Pippa Evans says Tom Zielinski's nanny, and so on and so on. Check them out. Go to guiltyfeminist.com and you go to merch and you'll see stay at home t-shirts or new normal t-shirts, and click on that and you'll see the whole range. But please know that the money goes entirely to the artist to help them, because frankly, there isn't a lot of work right now for comedians, and activists are also kept inside, not able to do the normal things they can do. So let me see if Honey is there. Is she here? Yes, yeah, she is. 5, 4, 3.
Hi.
There she is.
How are
Hello,
you?
Hello, Honey. How are you?
Yeah, weird. Existing.
Weird. Yeah.
It's so strange.
It's a very odd time, isn't it? To have had the events in America concur with lockdown, it feels like the end of the world, like completely the end of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard not to feel so helpless. I mean, just what you were saying then of people who are activists who are used to being able to go out and be active and participate and try and help. It's very, I don't know, it's very distressing. My anxiety has been through the roof, honestly.
I bet. Have you been like glued to the news? Have you been trying to block some of the news? How have you been feeling?
How have I been feeling? I think pre I mean, everything that's going on in America, I had been quite strict with myself. I think I've got very loud cats. I'm very sorry. Before
Mom says
everything
it's that toast mewing. It's not. It's Honey's cats.
happened, I'm cat sitting for someone and they're both in heat and it's
Oh.
a lot.
Oh my God.
I know, both girl cats in heat, so it's intense. Before I'd been limiting myself to one news source a day that I would only check specifically, I'd try and do it latest in the day.
Is that your internet or mine?
Ooh, potentially mine. Let
Is this any better?
I'm on 4G now. Hope is that
Light out here is horrible. Yeah, I get really upset by overhead light or
better?
by
Who
light
doesn't?
that I just find I don't know why. I'm in lockdown, I'm really sensitive to light, but I'll have a visceral reaction if the light's not nice. I'm sure it's part of lockdown. If that's better.
Is mine still
That's
bad?
better.
People are saying it's my internet. Is mine bad?
Not for me.
Oh, okay. No, you're crystal clear for me. So if people say it's okay, good. So I'd been quite strict with myself and kind of because I think I was just. It's weird because when everything's stripped back, you're in lockdown, you don't have any of your typical coping mechanisms, and I've got anxiety, depression, and PTSD. It's a whole, it's a triple threat. So I have to be super careful. I have, and I think now more than ever, I have to be super diligent and look after my brain. Which is quite nice, though. When do you ever get given the opportunity in life to really just look after yourself, or at least try to?
I know what you mean. And at the same time, so I got this new app that it's not new, but it's new to me. Nikesh Shukla recommended it on the New Normal. It's called Freedom.
Ooh, what's
And
that?
you can choose to block certain websites for a certain period of time.
Wow.
So there's one just called Scroll. That means anything you can scroll gets blocked. So I immediately put the scroll blocker on for 12 hours when I got it.
Nice.
And I felt like I was on holidays. I was like,
It's amazing.
oh, I don't have to scroll. Like if I pick up my phone and do that Pavlovian, it's not scrolling for me.
Well, because
And
you
I'd
get
go,
stuck in the
oh.
skull, it's impossible not to get locked in. I think it's, the app is literally designed to lock you in, and it's
It
like.
really is. But then everything happened in America and I just felt like these horrendous displays of white supremacy, and it was, I felt like I need to be, because I have something of a platform,
Totally.
I just thought it isn't okay for me to be like going, oh, well, I don't want to look at it right now. So, hold on. Tom's doing a tech call for an Amnesty show we're doing later. So that's me being tatty.
No.
I stayed up very late working on a script last night, and so I'm a bit,
Oh, I
I'm
love
a
that.
bit tatty. I'm a bit like, oh, what's that? Just because I haven't any sleep, I'm sleep deprived. But yeah, it's hard not to feel as a white woman because we are the
Yes.
least criminalized group in the world, and there's a lot
Yeah.
of vulnerability projected upon us. And at times, collectively as a group, we've weaponized that. Clearly,
Oh,
we've
we've
recently,
weaponized our tears. I think we've gotten away with murder,
well,
literally, for the longest
literally,
time. And I think
literally. And it's so horrific to sort of see
what's
it
going on
in.
right now is, I think, I was talking to Nadia, who I co-host my podcast with this morning, and just talking about how actually that it's such a similar energy to the Ferguson riots, but because of the pandemic, I do feel like there is the potential for there to be real change because there has never been such a big captive audience of white people now willing to or being forced to confront their racism. And I think it's ongoing. I think we all have to confront our racism because it is systemic and it is something. I mean, it's a work in progress, and I think it's such a weird time.
I'm writing an op-ed piece at the moment about the if we when we ask men to step up during Me Too and say, look at it, just look at it. Because you've either looked away because it was uncomfortable, because you did see the same things we saw, and you saw the looks, and you saw the joke, you heard the jokes, and you did go, ha-ha. So either you knew or you didn't know, and that's how protected you were. You
Completely.
really were in a privileged position to just look away because it wasn't happening to you. So either you didn't engage and didn't look and didn't think to ask, or you overlooked it because it was inconvenient, you blocked it out. And we're asking you now to come together and stand up and say, we see it, we're sorry, we'll do better. And I just, as a white woman, the piece I'm writing is about this, and I'm saying, if we wanted that and we asked for it, and like many men, not all, hashtag not all men, but many men did step up,
yeah,
and go, we see it, we're going to change this environment, and some environments are now a lot better and have changed. It's not perfect, and of course, as always, the poorest, most disenfranchised women are not benefiting from Me Too in the way that the most, you know, wealthier middle class places are. But there is a sort of global understanding and a global conversation and a shift that has seriously started to happen for women.
Yes.
But especially white women, because of course, always, you know, women of colour are more routinely marginalised, less believed. And I really feel like we cannot ask for what we asked for in the last couple of years with Me Too and say, see us, hear us, believe us.
Completely.
And now not take responsibility for what white women do. I'm specifically talking about white women. Like,
it's
what happened in New York. That woman was not a gun-toting, Trump-loving woman from Alabama. She was that Hillary voting, take my posh dog for a walk in the park woman. And when it came to it, she weaponized her whiteness. She weaponized her fear.
Yeah, her innocence, and that just kind of, you know.
You're attacking me, you know, like, you know. And
well, I think Charlie Craggs, the activist, said such a brilliant thing. She said, it's like, you know, it's like you said, it's not gun-toting Trump supporters. Charlie Craggs said, it's women in H&M hats. It's like, yeah,
well, that's the problem.
And
the problem is everybody. But I just, what I want to say in this article, which I'm sort of blowing because I'm saying it here, but slightly, but it's a video. I said that on Twitter, Run Bait Girl. I said on Twitter that the fact that they had the same surname, Amy Cooper and Christian Cooper, they didn't know each other but had the same surname. The origins of the surname is the same reason why she feels she can speak to him like that.
Yeah.
Because that's not an African name. Horrifying. Horrifying.
Horrifying.
But I mean, I certainly hope I've never deliberately done that. I hope I've never inadvertently done it. I don't believe there's any white woman in the world who hasn't lent into tears or vulnerability to get an advantage or to get out of something. Because it works.
And I think aware as a group for a very long time that it works. Right. And I think now is the time to
we
sit
have to
with
kind
the
of
fact
admit it.
We need to put our hands up and do better, honestly. And it's all we can
do. And white
do.
Women who claim they don't have it, as far as I'm concerned, they've got a loaded gun on their person. If you don't know you've got it, you don't know you're carrying a loaded gun. And in an emotional moment, you might discover it and set it off. So we need to acknowledge we have it. We need to convince other white women you do have this. You have done this. You may not admit it to yourself, but think back. Have you ever been pulled over by a cop and in that moment when you were speeding, made yourself, think it through, remember, made yourself a little bit coy?
Yeah.
Or started crying? And what happens to a black woman if she starts crying? Oh, the what's projected onto her, is it vulnerability? No, it's instability. It's what might she do? I will let you know, I'll post it on here, but it's what might she do? If a black woman certainly a black woman, but if a South Asian woman or Middle Eastern woman, because of, you know, the history of the world and, you know, she might be unstable. If she's crying now, maybe she'll be violent in a minute. If a black man started crying at the airport, oh, he's definitely unstable. They take him away. Whereas you or I start crying, we didn't know we had that in our bag. We didn't understand. We didn't know the rules. It'll be like, it's all that, right, darling,
it's the kind of presumed innocence of whiteness, I think.
Yeah. And how whiteness
gives you an invisibility cloak. Tears or
vulnerability.
Yes. And I think it means that so many people are able, so many white people, myself included, are able to get away with so much, and it's not good enough. We can't keep doing this. And I think
this is the problem.
It should be, we should feel guilty and we should feel uncomfortable because, you know, the systemic issues that are in America are because of our country. They're because of the UK. Mm. And we built the systems in place.
Yeah. And you know, some people say, oh, but it wasn't me. It was people generations ago. But you benefit from it. You benefit from it every day. You get out of bed and you benefit from it, and you keep taking and hoarding from that advantage place. And I think it feels like white people are finally having to have this conversation.
Completely.
Nobody's wanted to have it. And, you know, I've only woken up to the conversation, you know, the last 4 years, to my great shame. And I've sort of had comfortable, uncomfortable versions of it on the podcast. And now I'm like, I really now need to say, I'm complicit, I'm to blame, and I'm responsible. And as a group, if these are my people, you know, it's no good saying, oh, well, it wasn't me, and that's it in Central Park. Because I can imagine that woman would identify as a feminist. And she could have come to the Guilty Feminist show. Like, I'm not saying she has. That's not a fact. But I'm saying, am I honestly saying that nobody who loves the Guilty Feminist has ever done that? No. In that moment, I mean, it was particularly bad that she was going, an African-American man, I'm African-American. But even if she hadn't said that, just the sort of, I'm going to call a cops, and knowing how that might make him run away.
Continue.
No, I was just saying that white, heavy helping of well-deserved white guilt on the table. How are you in lockdown with this news, with this world as it is, how are you feeling in yourself during lockdown?
You know, it's going to sound so bizarre, but I actually feel pretty good. I think, you know, I've had depression my whole life, so it's like I've been training for a pandemic. You know, I'm very, very comfortable.
The amount of people with depression, anxiety, who go, I've got this. This is what I've been worried would happen. Now it's happened. The worst has happened. I'm fine.
Totally. I think there's something comforting in you spend your whole life catastrophizing because of your mental health, and then something bad actually happens, and you're like, oh, we're in it. We're in it now, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, there's something to having, you know, I spent like months basically bedbound. So I can be with myself in my own space, and I'm like, I really like my company, which I know is a privilege. And also, you know, I've been in therapy since I was 14. If I didn't like my company, I think I should get a refund. But I think I'm also having maybe too many personal revelations that I could do without. I'm sure everyone is having that, especially because we're all listening to so many kind of eye-opening podcasts. But I'm existing, I'm surviving. It's okay.
Great. I'm delighted to hear that. Is there anything you do to remain or to maintain emotional stability or mental stability that you've discovered in lockdown, or a strategy you had before as you suffered from depression, anxiety before?
I have so many things. Deborah, you've opened a floodgate. I've got so many things.
Go on. Like,
this is the queen of coping mechanisms that you were talking to right now. I have the most chaotic but very structured bedtime routine, which honestly has kept me sane and alive. And because I think especially, you know, I was used to spending a lot of my days out and about, which would tire me out. I have issues with sleeping, obviously. What don't I have issues with? And so, you know, I was sitting in lockdown being like, how the fuck am I going to fall asleep without, like, you know, like, I don't know. So actually I've put this very rigid nighttime routine in place where I listen to like a meditation. I listen to the sound of a gentle campfire and like do 500 different skincare things and write in a journal for an hour and put on a Himalayan salt lamp. It's kind of like a ritual. It's like I'm summoning a demon, but it's very nice. And I
it probably seduces your brain into knowing it's bedtime. It's like they do that with babies where they go, we put on the special sleep suit for night, which we don't do for naps. And then we dim the lights at this point. We put the mobile on and our brains are not really
our
very
brains
different
need
from
that. They need you to just
seduced.
Go, oh, that sound, that smell, it's bedtime. Like drink a cup of tea an hour before bed. You've got to just like, there's loads of things where you just like, your brain goes, oh, she's drank the tea. It's time for bed. Like it's, I basically, this is what, I had this realization and I told my friend Michelle, who's a life coach, that I now live my life as if I'm a sim, which is something I learned to do from depression, where you go, my hygiene bar's a little low. Oh, my social bar's quite low. Or, you know, you kind of, you learn to break down your needs like that and they become quite manageable.
That makes sense.
But it's very nice, I must say. I also play Animal Crossing, like my life depends on it. It's the only thing that calms me down. It's the only thing that I can consistently focus on, which is very nerdy, but it's been a lovely distraction and escapism.
I think the ritual will help. I think people, because people like to take away things from this show.
Yes.
So having a bedtime ritual of three or four things to do in a row.
Completely.
Because at the moment, our days aren't very punctuated because we're in lockdown. So it's not like I went out, I came back, I went for a walk, I went to the gym or I, you know, met a friend or I came, end of the evening. It's just like one long. So if you have like times of the day when you do things, that really, really helps. Do you have new I'm a feminist buts from this? So like, do you have any cosmetic ones or anything like that? Doesn't have to be cosmetic. I am a feminist,
but I have been shaving my entire body in lockdown just to feel something. Honestly.
Oh, wow.
I've always had body hair. I've loved my armpit hair. I mean, white feminism in 2015, who didn't love a little bit of armpit hair? Like I was into it. And like, I think it's just, I'm just bored. I'm like, I get in the bath and I'm like, might as well just hack this off. It's just for me. It's quite nice. I did my bikini area. I was like, I don't even do that when there's not a pandemic. So
I love everything waxed and smooth.
I love a wax every so often. I'll do a wax maybe like, I'll leave a long gap. But before summer, I'll do a wax if I'm going to be slutty, you know.
I own a self-ownership of that word before anyone writes in.
Yeah, 100%. I am a big old slut. That's reclaimed.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I've been much more lax in lockdown. I've gone back to shaving because obviously I cannot wax myself. I do not know how to do it. And I think I would end up in tears. Is there anything that surprised you about this? Surprised you about yourself or the world, or the human race?
Oh, because I don't want to be defeatist. Because there have been things where I've gone like, humanity is good. I think, you know what it is? I think what I've noticed about lockdown is how introspective everyone has become, myself included. And I think it's very hard not to, because you've got so much time to sit with everything that's going on between your ears. And I think I found that difficult. I think it's been helpful, and I think I've actually grown a lot and changed a lot in this time. But some days we're like, I'd really like a day off from my exhausting brain. But
I do know what you mean. Speaking of slutty, you think this is going to change us in our attitude towards intimacy and sex? Because I feel like maybe it's the end of lockdown. It means the end of that sort of swipe right, shag them and ghost them as soon as possible. That so many of my friends are going, I'd have to let someone back into my body now. And that's, I'm not used to that anymore. And I actually, it feels like it's resealing. And that would be a really special thing to let anybody do that. And I wouldn't do it, just let somebody, some strange man come around. And I think that's a really that's, and other people are going, I literally cannot wait. Some friends have confessed to me that they've broken lockdown because they can't, Yeah. And
yeah, they feel really bad. Like, don't do it. Yeah, of course. How could things not be immensely different with, I think it's going to go, there's two ways it can go, which is either people are going to be gagging to commit or gagging to run a mile. You know what I mean? I think it's, there's no middle ground now. Mm-hmm. I think people who were scared of commitment before will be more scared of commitment. And I think people who were open to something before this will be more open to something. It's what I've been talking about with my therapist a lot. I haven't, one thing
like
I found
Mae Martin out, said, if we were going back into lockdown, she wouldn't be single again. She's like, I'm nailing it down. If I see lockdown coming again, nailing down a relationship, going into lockdown with somebody. Do you think we are going to be in a situation where if we go back into lockdown, people are going to behave differently and going to go, I know what I didn't have last time?
No. People don't have the foresight. People don't have the foresight to even be quarantining right now. I think half the people who are even displaying symptoms of COVID right now aren't quarantining. I think, like, people aren't going to be better prepared for when there's a second spike because people don't want to know there's going to be a second spike.
Yeah.
Which is the
depressing thing. I feel like if I knew there was a proper, serious, months-long lockdown coming ever again, in a post lockdown world, if we were ever going back in, I'm a feminist butties, I would ask a hair and makeup person to move in with me rent free, and then I would also pay them for their services.
Wait, say that one more time, sorry, because someone just phone called me and it just, I lost it for 1 second.
If we came out of lockdown and I had to go back in again,
yeah,
I would love to invite someone who could do hair and makeup to come and stay with me rent free, so that I could pay them to do me a blow dry every now and again if we're all going to be in lockdown. Because I feel like there are things that I kind of didn't know I would even miss.
Oh yeah, so true.
That I kind of miss, that I'm like, so I kind of understand when people go, I'd hook up with someone for the duration. I absolutely do get that.
Totally. And I've been having a lovely social distance romance over Hinge and having lovely FaceTime dates with one person. In lockdown, we met on a dating app in lockdown, and that's been this whole new experience. It's been really wonderful and exciting. But
have you gone on social distance walk in the park?
No, we haven't yet, but we're planning on when we're going to meet, which is exciting.
Somebody told me about this and they said it was like a Jane Austen novel.
It's like I'm being courted. I'm a feminist, but I love being courted, right? Yes. I've never been courted in my life. And I've now suddenly got a very lovely boy sending me like lovely letters and songs, and it's like,
We're back to mixtapes. We're back to Spotify playlists.
Sending each other book recommendations and podcasts. It's so intimate. And also FaceTime itself is so intimate.
Exactly. Someone said to me that they sort of, I think it was with their boyfriend, but they weren't living together, so they had to do a sort of socially distanced walk around the park. And she said it was like being in a Jane Austen novel, like, shall we take a turn around the room? And
every time I come down from my FaceTime date, my housemate she heckles me, shall we take a turn around the room? Because she just thinks it's the funniest thing that I am in this kind of ostentatious relationship. It's very exciting.
So funny. I wonder what it will do, especially to teenagers who are dating for the first time in lockdown. I think it will change people. I really think this period is going to change people in one way or another. I feel like there's going to be polar responses to it. I think you're right, but I think it is going to reshape. If this is your teenage, a sexual awakening summer, you cannot not be affected by this for the rest of your life in some way or another.
Yeah, I think attitudes around sex are going to be very different after this. I don't think necessarily for the better, because I think with it, like, obviously I'm immensely sex positive, but I think there is now a fear around having sex, obviously, because like you said, it's letting someone in again. It's so intimate. It's an exchange of fluids and contact. It's something we've been told so specifically not to do.
And also, even after this virus is, if we have a vaccination, well, there might be another one. It might mutate. Like, I think it will just make us a bit scared in general. And then some people will get reckless and it'll be like the roaring 20s. I think it will be a combination of the roaring 20s and some people being quite I did Mary Beard's lockdown culture show on BBC Two, and there was a professor of risk from Cambridge called David who said, the government's going to have to tell us to go out again at some point. Go, it's okay, go to a restaurant, it's going to be fine, it's going to be fine. 100%. I mean, the trouble is I don't trust this government. Like, if they told me to go to restaurants, I'd be like, what is everyone off to? What's New Zealand doing? How many? Because New Zealand's out of lockdown now, because she just went, right, all get inside, let's do it, let's do this. And they're out now.
I know.
We've got more deaths than anyone in Europe. Did you see it? It was like, Spain had like two deaths, and like, you know, they were just sort of like, just, you know, two more than anybody wants. And, you know, to those families.
But the numbers are going down, whereas our numbers are going
it's devastating, but everybody else was under 100 and we were like 350 or something. And we're just coming out of lockdown because Dominic Cummings fucked up, and Boris is like, oh, it's not like a reward for good behaviour coming out of lockdown. It has to equate with the science, surely.
But someone said, I've heard a lot of things. Someone was like, Boris Johnson would personally inject everyone's grandma with coronavirus if he could, just to get the economy back up and running. And I don't dispute that. But also, I've heard people theorise that this is the government kind of sloppily trying to go back to their herd immunity idea by relaxing the lockdown far before we should be doing it.
They want to live in Jacinda Ardern world, honey.
I know. It's hell. Life is hell.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Do you, to cheer us up, have any pets or anything in the house you'd like to show us? Could be a headdress. Hello!
This is Diana.
Oh, she is Diana.
Truly the silk. She feels like cashmere. And she's so fluffy and adorable.
Can I ask a question? Your cat, who I see all the time on Instagram.
Yes, she's right beside me, actually. Maura.
Maura, named after a Love Island contestant, I remember at the time. So Maura's there, and there were two loner cats as well.
Yes.
How has Maura taken the intruders? Because I believe cats are all leave voters.
100%.
Dogs are remain voters, cats are leave voters. That's my belief. Do you remember when Brexit was topical?
Oh my God, I know. I was like,
do you remember Brexit was the only thing, and now it's like...
It's like, we didn't even have time to talk about Brexit now. Brexit is like, what?
Might have been the first horse of the apocalypse, looking back.
It was a warning, for sure. I think we've been breadcrumbed warnings for a while that, you know, the season finale was on its way, and I think we're just about there.
It's true. Somebody there says, not to be dramatic, but I'd die for Maura. Fair. Runbait girl says, God, I miss Brexit. Lol.
What a life.
I know.
She's been
pretty good with them. They remain. Oh, that's nice. None of my cats are. Actually, Seymour might be remain. Seymour's probably remain.
I like to think my cats are remain. The two girls I'm cat sitting for are definitely leave, but Maura's remain.
Oh, that's nice.
She's, you know, it's a political household. She's heaven. I mean, honestly, I have to say, having a pet through the lockdown has been one of the best blessings. Honestly, just having someone to look after that's not myself has been lovely. Mm.
But also someone who doesn't know what's going on, who just wants to, who's happy to have you stroke them.
Yeah. Who just
I think
wants
it's
to be
quite
the intimacy.
Thing. I'm just going to go upstairs because I'm worried this is going to die. And if it dies, I lose the video and that can't happen. So I wasn't plugged in enough. So let me just hold on. I'm going to take you upstairs.
Please do.
But I'm going to get in my bed. This is the part of the show where if I haven't plugged in, it's In Bed with Deborah Frances White. I feel like I'm sort of, I think of myself as a Madonna Ono character. I mean, it's not a very sexy time in bed with me because it's like got last night's pajamas in it. It's not like a satin sheets. The sheets need changing, really. It's not as sexy as advertised.
I think it's pretty sexy to me.
That's actually Steve's bathrobe that I stole because I used his bathroom because it's got better shine. So not even my bathrobe in my bed. Sexy's a strong word. Let's not overuse it.
Yeah.
I mean,
save its power.
It's a very, very low bar. Someone says, great to hear you on Six Music today, DFTubs. Thank you. We recorded that last week. And I loved that interview with Sean. He was so much fun. Sean Kevany on Radio 6 Music. He was so much fun. But I thought, God, it's a bit lol-tastic for this, because it was before the news of the protests and revolutions in America. And I felt really like, my God, if it comes out today, I'm going to be like, hi, lol, jokes. Yeah. Ha-ha. And I'm I hope it's okay. Anyway, thank you very much and delighted that you heard it. Very kind. I also wanted to ask you, do you have any hope, renewed hope for humanity because of this? Is there anything that you think, because this has happened and the way people have responded, maybe things will start to turn a corner?
Do you mean in terms of what's going on kind of racially, or do you mean like in general with Corona?
Lockdown. But I could take it as anything that's happening right now. Is it sort of, you know, you said before, well, white people might be finally waking up and realizing that there's a deep injustice in the system. Is there anything about lockdown that makes you think, oh,
yes,
maybe
with... I think with lockdown, I mean, I flip between, and I'm sure we all do, of, you know, you have one day where, you know, when we were all clapping, you were like, oh, the world is maybe nice. And then, you know, the next minute you see people having a house party and you're like, why, you know, so yes. I think it's, I really flip between the two. I always want to hope that the world is going to be better, but I think we've all been burned so many times. So I'm gonna be reserved to protect my heart, but who knows?
Okay. Are there any habits you might take forward? Is there anything you do in lockdown now that you think, oh, I'm going to stick with this?
I mean, I think I'm going to take a lot. I think there's something about, I've found, I just think the way I've learned to look after myself in lockdown is something I'm going to take away with me for the rest of my life. And I feel, I mean, I'm 23. This is embarrassing that I'm saying this, but I think there's, you know, I've learned I think I've learned to actually give myself the time to stop and check in. And I think I've realized that if I'm feeling something negative, even if I'm locked in the scroll on Instagram and feel like I'm going to have a panic attack or something, I can check in and go, you're clearly looking for something. You're looking for an emotion. You're looking for someone to meet your needs, but it's going to have to be you. It's going to have to be you to meet those needs. And I found that really empowering because I realized, I was like, oh, I can do anything and I can do anything on my own. And I can probably do this forever. Not that I want to or have to, but if I could, I could. And that's really empowering.
Maybe that's your t-shirt. Every day there's a t-shirt based on something that the guest says. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's profound, but maybe who's going to meet my needs? It's going to be me. Is quite a good t-shirt.
That is a
for a lockdown t-shirt.
T-shirt.
Yeah. Who's going to meet my needs? I guess it's going to be me, or it's got to be me. I'm the only one here other than these cats, and they want me to meet their needs as well. Are you in lockdown with a flatmate?
Yes, I'm in lockdown with my best friend and housemate, who I've actually known since I was 3 years old, Lulu, who is, you know, there's no one else I could have done this with, honestly. And we have quite a nice joke between us, which is, what a time to be single, because our neighbours keep on having very aggressive rows, and it's, I feel quite smug about it, I'll be honest.
It probably is a good time to be single, to be honest. I am
very surprised that Tom and I haven't really rowed. Like in the, we had we just
that's
we just
so nice though.
I think we just sort of worked out early on. It's a bit like, can you see me?
I can see you now.
Yeah, it's a bit like who's going to meet your needs? There's only me. You know, yeah. I felt like, I think early on we both went, if I'm not nice to you, you're the only one here. So yeah. Then I'm going to not have anyone. And then we're going to have this tense thing. So we just sort of decided, well, that could be another t-shirt, actually. What a time to be single. That could go out of the way. But yeah, I think we both did that same thing that you've just done with yourself and going, yeah, I've only got you, so I'm going to be a bit nicer to you than not. I'm going to be actively compassionate to you for a while. And then we got into a nice routine of it. But I'm aware, I am not smug about that at all, because it could, you know, at any point, listen, that if we stay in for another 4 weeks, it could take a turn. So if anyone's thinking, oh, freaking hell, I can't be ready to be shot of him slash her, then I completely understand that.
But that, you know, that is interestingly, that's one thing my therapist said, though, she was like, couples who are strong will get stronger and couples who are struggling will struggle further. And it sounds like you've just gone from strength to strength.
What else does your therapist say? Because I don't have a therapist, so can I have some of your secondhand therapy? It's a bit of breathing secondhand smoke, what other people's therapists say.
Oh my God, I live to give secondhand therapy. It's my
kick. You do. You're so good on your, you always answer people's questions on your Instagram. If you don't follow Honey Kinney, you really should, because you've made me feel a lot better about my body and like to sort of see my body as beautiful, because you proactively see your body as beautiful, and it is. But it's really easy for me to see your body as beautiful and then not mine. But it's sort of, it is very seductive after a while. Of course, you change the wallpaper and, you know, guess what, you know? I think the other thing you're very generous with your time, giving lots of advice. So any secondhand therapy today, please?
Secondhand therapy, let me think. I mean, I had a quite simple but nice advice today. I actually had a therapy phone call today, which I have to say, the real reason I've been so okay through lockdown is I'm so privileged to have a therapist, and God, the difference it has made just for my general well-being and survival. And I think, you know, everyone should be able to have therapy, and it's such a disgusting thing that it's so hard to get. But my therapist did say today, when something's right, it will feel right. And I just think that's such good advice. And I think it's also to do with knowing if someone...
Was she talking about the turnabout the park gentleman?
She was talking about turnabout the park. Well, God, I hope he's not watching this. But like, I think it's something about like when things feel easy. And if you're fighting or confused, then you have your answer.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that's great life advice.
Somebody says it gets lonely during ovulation, which I think is its own t-shirt.
I signed me up.
A close friend of mine was talking about his therapist. And I said, and he said, something about arguing with someone. And I said, so if we ever have an occasional sort of like we have a sort of tiff or something, I said, do you ever talk to your therapist about me? And he went, yeah. And I went, well, I'm going to need right of reply. So next time we have an argument, I'm going to make you a little voice note that you have to play your therapist with my side of the story, because I don't want you. I was like, what is your therapist? But it would, I think that's a really funny idea for a script, that sort of somebody who's like, play this, that you just get after an argument, have a voice note. It's like, this is to play to your therapist.
like a rebuttal, a proper just like.
Yeah, just to put my side of the story forward. So like, you're going to hear that side of the story anyway. It would be remiss of you not to hear both sides of the story before you met your way to make a judgment.
I'm obsessed with that. And please write that. I would love to.
I'm absolutely gonna. So do you have any watches, books, anything like that you would like to tell us about? Anything you've been watching, reading, listening to?
I've been listening to Janelle Monáe all week. Mm-hmm. I think it's very important to support Black artists right now, and Janelle Monáe is an incredible Black queer artist who I adore, and her music makes me feel very safe and happy. Just lovely feminist message. It's gorgeous. And then I'm watching Little Fires Everywhere, which I actually it starts so amazing, and then I think it gets a bit broad, but I did really enjoy it. And you know, I'm just grateful that all of the wonderful entertainment we can consume, like, God, what a time to be alive.
I mean, remember when there was just like some channels and you had to watch what was on one of the channels, or an old movie you'd watched a million times?
The shit we used to watch.
We used to
like,
watch
the
such
shit we watch now, but it's like at least there's a wider variety of shit to get through. We're so lucky. Yes.
When also you can choose it, you can kind of go, oh, actually, I want to watch something really good and really substantial, yeah. Or actually, I want to watch something a bit light and fluffy.
I have to say, that is the biggest, like, that's such a joy of being able to go, I just need to watch something where I completely shut my brain off. Or you can be like, I want to watch a documentary that's going to absolutely educate me and stimulate me. And it's like, oh my God, we have access to that. Like, in a way, that gives me hope for the world.
Yep. And is there a feminist ask or an activist ask today that we could help you with? Is there anything we could get behind?
Yes. I believe the website is thebailproject.org, and it is a bail fund in America to help people get out of, I mean, if they've been arrested yesterday, essentially, from the protests. It's very, very...
My friend in LA said they changed, there was an 8 o'clock curfew in LA, which is an amazing sentence to say in itself, and they at 5:20, they or 5:20 or 5:30, they announced it's going to be 6. And of course, most people did not know that or hear that. And that was so they could arrest anyone they wanted to after 6 o'clock.
Just disgusting.
It's I mean, it's very frightening, that, isn't it?
It's not even shocking, you know, and I think it's not shocking anymore that they are just allowed, the police are just allowed to act like cartoon villains, and we just have to sit and take it and watch. It's so frightening.
So frightening. Somebody asked if I'm going to any protests in London over the weekend. Yes. There's one on June the 3rd, which I think is at the American Embassy, that I'm going to go to. I've put it on my socials. I don't have it to hand in front of me because my phone is, if I go on that, I'll cut honey off. But I've put it on at DF Dubs, and I'll repost it through the week. And also tonight, I'm doing shows with Amnesty International. This week, so tonight we're doing the Four Yorkshire Men that used to be the Four Yorkshire Men, and we have updated it for the Secret Policeman's tour, the Four Yorkshire Women, and we're talking to Siobhan McSweeney, who plays Sister Michael in Derry Girls, and Juliet Stevenson, both remarkable women. Wednesday night, so we're releasing, we're playing the sketch, we're playing our analysis of the sketch and discussion of the sketch, and then you can do a live Q&A with me, Siobhan and Juliet tonight. So tune in at I think 7:15 on Facebook Live and Amnesty UK's Facebook Live page. There are other channels as well, but you can only ask questions on Facebook Live. On Wednesday, we're reuniting the cast of Goodness Gracious Me to talk about going for an English with Nish Kumar, who was one of the people who recreated the sketch in Edinburgh for the Secret Policeman's tour that we did not long ago, did last year. Or the year before. So tune in on Wednesday night to see that again. It'll be on our socials. And Friday night, they are replaying We Know Where You Live live. And it's The Secret Policeman is Ball is a reference to police brutality in police states, where, you know, the reason it's called Secret Policeman's Ball is it's like Secret Policeman can't have a ball because then we'll know who they are. And they're not, they're the kind of police who aren't accountable. And that's why it was called The Secret Policeman's Ball. And the reason it was We Know Where You Live live, it was about sort of the way they go, we know where you live. And Amnesty was saying, we know where you live.
Yeah.
Governments that are using human rights abuses. And it's a sort of such a legacy brand. I think people who know it just go, yeah, Secret Policeman's Ball, and they don't think about it.
I had never known that.
This week when we're thinking about police violence, it's particularly, you know, somebody said to me, oh, it's very evocative, we've got policeman in the title. And so I sort of thought I really wanted to talk about that and why it was called that. And the sort of, you know, that we have had people on the stage in the last couple of years on Secret Policeman's tour events who themselves have lived in police states and been suffered from police brutality and state violence. So this is a week of events, and we thought, should we go ahead with it almost because, you know, in the light of what's happening in America, then we thought no, because if Amnesty don't go ahead with their events that always shine a light on human rights issues, and in these cases, you know, going for an English is a sketch that highlighted to English people what they looked like in an Indian restaurant, and what that group, the did Goodness Gracious Me, and the Kumars completely built
built bridges in this country and made people of other races who were not Asian go, oh, hold on a minute, let's be honest, white people go, oh, no, that if the Kumas are my family, so is this Asian family in the street. What am I thinking? And it's what, you know, they did so much incredible work with comedy. So we do want to go ahead with it because it's important.
Well, I think comedy is such a powerful tool for elevating marginalized voices. And I think it allows people who have not previously felt comfortable to speak up. It gives them a platform to speak and often a way that feels safe to do it because you are in control of the narrative.
Indeed. So we will make, can you make stories of the bail fund, anything that you want, anything else you want to share with us? Is there anywhere we should be following you or any work that you're doing that you'd like us to see?
Yes, I would love for you to, if you're interested, listen to the podcast I host with Nadia Craddock called The Body Protest, which we talk about. It's an intersectional body image podcast talking about any kind of issues you've ever had with your body, food, sexuality. We've covered it. And actually, we're starting season two hopefully soon. We've already recorded a couple, but we're, you know, it's corona. And yeah, my Instagram is at honeykinney.
And is there anything else you want to tell us about how you think the lockdown or the virus might affect our body image? Might be affecting it right now or might affect it on the other side?
I mean, I've recently, at the start of the lockdown, me and Nadia were doing weekly live podcasts just, and it was really intimate and people just sending us questions being like, I'm really struggling with my weight. I think a lot of people, I think it's a complicated time for our bodies in many ways because I think our routine has changed. We're not exercising as much unless we're actively trying to. We are probably eating more than usual because our meal times are different. We are at home all day. I think there is a natural, your body is most likely naturally changing for a lot of reasons. And I think there's, you know, that's most people's worst nightmare, having that happen out of their control. And that's what we've been seeing a lot of. I think it doesn't help that there's also a lot of memes being like, the worst thing that could come out of the lockdown is being fat, essentially. And it's like, you know, there's much worse that could happen. I think the main thing that there is to say is right now is the most important time to practice self-compassion. I think if you catch yourself thinking thoughts that are around your relationship with your body and your food that are negative or toxic or feed into a trigger that you've had in the past with your relationship with your body, you're not a passenger to your thoughts and you are able to kind of go, hang on, we don't do this anymore. I think that's what I've been trying to be mindful of throughout. But also, everyone should follow Nadia.Craddock. She is actually watching right now, and she's amazing. She's much wiser than me, body image researcher, genius, icon, angel.
Great. Okay, so could you make a story as well about your podcast? And I do recommend, I'll follow Nadia now as well, but I do recommend following Honey because it's sort of, it's very cheerful content, but it's just sort of filtered into my brain, and I have definitely changed my in fact I talked about you to the New York Times, but I don't think they put your name in. I sort of mentioned you as a body positive or a body acceptance influencer, but it's a, you know, so nice. Interviews, it's always also I've recommended, I did my Splendid Isolation for the Telegraph, which seems like unbelievably flippant now in the light of this thing, but I posted on my stories anyway because I talked about some of the shows that I've really enjoyed and the books I've really enjoyed. So if anyone's interested in the things I've been watching, doing and listening to in lockdown and my amazing feminist dance teacher, and it's all there in the Telegraph, which I think you can read a couple of articles a week for free or a month or something. But I also posted some of it onto my stories as well. So check that out. And finally, if lockdown was over and you could go back to doing anything you'd had done in the past, no restrictions, just imagine you're Dominic Cummings for one sweet moment.
Oof, what a life.
I mean, you're like, what your life would be, the freedom. What would you do?
Oh, I'm trying so not to say sex, but maybe sex.
Like sex.
Probably sex. But good also tonight. Probably like having a picnic with my friends, but I guess that's technically legal now, but it shouldn't be. So sex, let's go with sex, for lack of something better, more meaningful. No, you know what? Uh-huh. Let's not go with sex. I wish I could hug my family. Nothing to do with sex.
We all know the real answer now. It's too late. It's too late for, oh, sorry, did I say sex? I meant hug my mom.
Like, what? Sorry, I'm a really nice girl.
That's a great t-shirt. The thing I do first after lockdown is sex. I meant hug my mom.
It's truly like, I, you know, think before you speak. Don't be like me. I clearly just didn't. Just came very out with funny. Sex.
Well, there's a variety of t-shirts to choose from. I don't know if our audience wants to, viewers, if you have any favourites that you would prefer a t-shirt of, put it down below. They're print on demand, and the fabric is traceable, and they are made sourced locally, and the printing's done locally. Mostly, to be honest, Hannah from the merch store is absolutely brilliant and had already sort of made them, you know, had done her sustainability checks. But then Aisling B got involved because we were doing a t-shirt for her, and she was like, is it local? Is it traceable? Is it? So I asked a lot more questions. And so she's so into sustainable fashion and ethical fashion. And, so it is now Aisling B approved. That's how ethical it is.
That is,
and
the
it's not easy
fear.
To get past. It is.
It if actually it can get is. Past
and she
Aisling,
said, oh,
like,
sorry, I'm a bit such a pain in the ass. And I was like, you know, I was like, no, it's
no,
good because you're making
we
me.
Should be held to. I think
yeah, you're making me ask these questions, which I should have already asked and I hadn't already asked. So it's really good. You know, if you could be the responsible person for that thing where you bug your friends about that, it's actually useful. It's really useful. So thank you, Aisling B, if you're watching or you hear this back. Honey, it's been absolutely wonderful to spend time with you today. Ned Sedgwick is on tomorrow from Global Pillage, my sidekick on Global Pillage, but he's also one of the anchors of Grown Up Land, the BBC Sounds podcast that's been on for a couple of years now. So tune in tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Ned's going to have some Global Pillage questions for you, which are about idioms from other countries and customs from other countries. So tune in for that. There's other people this week that I can't remember, but they're brilliant. So tune in every night this week, Monday to Friday, 6 p.m. And please join us tonight, 7:15 or something like that, on the Amnesty UK Facebook page, and join Juliet and Siobhan and me. And please send in some questions. Otherwise, legend, exactly. Otherwise, I'll have to kind of be faking questions from people. We don't want that.
No.
Not when you could ask Juliet Stevenson and Siobhan McSweeney things. That would be madness. You've got an opportunity to ask Sister Michael things tonight. Who wouldn't do that?
I mean, that's the dream come true, truly.
The literal dream come true.
Thank you for having me.
Anything else you want to tell us quickly before you go? We're about to hit the hour and then they cut us off. Tell us anything you want to tell us.
Donate if you can to all memorial funds for George Floyd, not the official one.
And if you can't donate, amplify. Someone else might donate their gym membership, which is suspended, or the 50 quid they were going to spend in the pub and at Pizza Express this week. So if you can't donate, doesn't matter. Share.
Elevate.
Send it to a friend who has got money.
Exactly.
Thank you, everybody. See you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
Love
you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.